Because you can handle the truth.
This is Ralph Kermit Winrow II calling live out of Alaska. Colder than a witch's you-know-what up here. I'm telling you, we've had some minus 14, 15, 17 below here, and I'm in Wasilla here. So I'm supposed to... I used to get down to that a little more, but boy, it's been an interesting week. Last week, I was helping call bringing some food to a friend, backed out and backed into a vehicle and broke my back window in the van, and the blower motor quit in the van, and then I went to charge my pickup, and the no charger I've had for, I don't know, since beginning of time, it wouldn't work. Get the vehicle started, and the dash don't work, the defrosts don't work, the wipers don't work, the parking brake doesn't work, then garbage disposal made some soup, it quit working, and then last night, the boiler quit working like it's supposed to. So I had an emergency guy come out today, and he only charged me $300, which I thought was very reasonable, and got my boiler up and going. But boy, it's been an interesting week. I haven't got much else to fail. I had a cap come off my tooth, and I got to get a root canal next month. So it's been an interesting week. That's all right. I still got my health, and I really hope that people have been watching Frank's speech. William Federer on the real history of Thanksgiving, I had that transcribed. I haven't gone over it yet, but I'm going to be putting that out. And that's it. That man is just an amazing wealth of knowledge, things that I'd never heard before. And he was going into some religious issues, too, but I want to make sure I get them right. But I had never heard the way he put some of the stuff. It's just, when you hear the truth, it's just amazing. But I will be putting that out. I'll probably get that done today now that my boiler's coming up and I can actually get out of bed and not be so dang cold. It was down in the 50s in my house. I had the oven on. Stuff on the stove, but it just can't keep up with this kind of cold weather. So, anyways, it was an amazing time watching Ed Frank's speech is still on. There's no reason to watch anyplace else. I mean, there's some other ones like Republic Broadcasting that lets me air. Now, that's one of the few that's out there that doesn't censor what goes on, Republic Broadcasting. But there aren't a lot of them out there. Like RBN or like Frank's speech, where you can actually hear the real truth. We're going to take this country back. They haven't got any AGs to sign yet, and I'm going to put out an email on that. I highly recommend going to frankspeech.com. Go down. The complaint is there. It's an excellent complaint. They've got all of the exhibits, so you can download those. And we need to get in this fight. This is it. This is the ball game. If we lose this, we're done. There is no coming back. I'm with Mark Lundell. We have to fix 2020, and if we don't fix it, these elections have been being rigged for years. We wonder, how do these people that don't really have what the majority of the people want end up in office? Well, it's really simple. The elections are rigged. And they've been putting these people in place all up and down the line, from the lowest levels to the highest levels. And they've been putting them into these corporations. And you can see now that how could anybody have a legitimate stand against not wanting to have one vote for one man or one woman and have it count and not have it rigged and be able to verify it and have it 100% open? How could you oppose that? All of the Democrats are. I don't see any Republicans standing up and saying it. Very few. And the bottom line is, if you are not for that, you're not the right person to be in an office that ain't even, technically, you don't even hold a public office to begin with. You don't need to be there. We got a lot of people to replace if we get honest elections. I always wondered how all these judges that everybody bitches about in Alaska always seem to make it by 52 or 53 or 55%. Now I know for sure. It's rigged. They want these people in there. You just can't make up how they have undermined the Christians, the churches. They've infiltrated the churches unbelievably. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time here on the one thing that Mike Lindell and Brannon, and I'm not criticizing them in any manner, because I'm telling you what, if we didn't have those two doing what, we'd be done. Mike Lindell, I don't know what, it's just like what Trump. They both had money and they went out there and fought a good fight. And Mike Lindell won't give up and he won't be bought. I like what he said. These stores and all the canceled, hey, go to H-E-double-L. I'm done with you. We're done. I encourage people, just like I need donations, RBN needs donations, and Mike Lindell needs people to support him by buying his products. He's got great products. He's given the discounts that the stores used to take to us. So why not take advantage of it and then fight for our republic? Because if we lose this battle, we're done. It'll never come back, because it is, Satan has so infiltrated all these people. And these people, any politician that will not come out and openly support fixing 2020 elections and getting rid of the Dominion and Smartmatic and all of these evil machines, You don't need them. That's all you need to know. That's the test. Because if you don't have a fair election, because this government is by we the people. That's the way it was set up. And that's not what's going on right now. We have been, because we have been lax, and Satan has been busy, and they have put in people in power that are corrupt, satanic, and evil. When a governor of a state like Virginia comes out and says, a child can be born and we'll just set it there and go to the mother. Hey, what do you think, Doc? Shall we let this child die or not? It's already born, man. Animals don't do this. They don't. Animals take care of their young, the mothers, when they're born. And this has been supported. I just can't make this. It's just beyond pure evil. As evil as it gets. It's time for everybody to get involved. This is the time to get off your butts and get involved. Now, the Supreme Court brief that the Moonies have fought all the way up through, I got involved in the middle of their lower case. We fought it through the United States Court of Claims, which used to be the only bona fide Article III court from 1952 to 1983 because it said so. Then in 1983, they made it an Article I, Section 8, Clause 9, which is a legislative court, just like the tax court, just like the United States District Court. They're all Article I, Section 8, Clause 9. They are courts of the Congress, and I have the cases where they said unequivocally, the judge, because it's judicial power of a district court. Judicial power is something reserved strictly for a government that we have given limited delegation of power to. Judicial power of a district court. Judicial power of the United States. Is that Article 3? That's the government. Judicial power of what government? Of the United States. Prepositional phrase. And the object of that is the government of the United States. They is an article. The singular. There's only one. Of course, they redefined the United States. That's how they get around all this stuff. They're always making new definitions. This term means. Anytime you see that, that's where you want to go, because everything is a lie. They're just lying to us. Flat out. So, judicial power of a district court means what? The judge represents the court. Well, that's not a government. And then the next other case is the court is under the plenary absolute power of Congress because it's a legislative court. That judge is representing what those people in Congress want. We're done. It's all rigged. And they print it. That case, the petition for rehearing, is set for December conference. The only thing we brought up, which they're supposed to abide by, is the administrative legislation of where federal agencies live. This is a tough nut for people to understand. Our shadow government that we're being ruled by is by these federal agencies and their regulation. And the thing that is being missed, that I think, absolutely, this is something I go behind 100%. I like to get to the root of the problem. If you cut off the root of the tree, you don't have to worry about the tree and its branches and its leaves. If you were in a chess game, wouldn't you want to identify for certain a pawn, a king, a queen, a knight, a rook, rook, bishop? Wouldn't you want those pieces identified for certain so they couldn't change? I would think so, because there's no way to play the game. So hold that thought. If you're going to be in this world, we have to identify who we are. Who are you? The most important thing that we get is the unalienable rights from our Creator. That's fine, no matter where you're born in the world, that's it. But it's our birthright. In America, I was born in Kansas. And with that, I got the inalienable rights, which is God's, the law of nature, and nature's God. That's your inalienable rights. I also got civil rights when I'm old enough, 18, to sue and be sued. And I also, when I am old enough, 18, and I am domiciled there for a certain time, I have something called political rights, because I am a sovereign, and I have given a limited delegation of power to the government. So the people are in charge. And to be in that government, you have to have what's called an office. It's either created by the Constitution or it's created by statute. And that is just like a contract. And if you have a public office, you are given discretion. If you are an employee, you do not have discretion to make decisions on our life, liberty, and property. And one of the things, it's very frustrating, because we're not taught proper English in this world. We hear United States Constitution or U.S. Constitution. It has one name, Constitution of the United States. Constitution, we got an object, the thing of the object, we got a prepositional phrase, the singular, and it's what? Constitution of the United States, the government. It's its name. U.S. Constitution, United States Constitution, is called the compounding of nouns. It is describing a constitution, not the constitution. The original organic constitution of the United States is comprised only of the main body and the amendments of 1 through 12. The amendments from 13 up are not amendments to the Constitution of the United States. It says so right in them. Calls them articles, first of all, like Article 1, Article 2, Article 3. That's a different thing, different subject within a Constitution. They call them articles. The bottom, most of them, and they are under the control of Congress. You can't have a right of the people, because our inalienable rights are not something that Congress has control over. It's not something man has control over. They're inalienable. They existed prior to the government. That's why they're in a Bill of Rights. Right to bear arms. That's not something the government gives. That's something we have the right to defend ourselves. These things are not something government gives. It's not something government can legislate against. So the 13th up are not amendments, like the Bill of Rights, or our Amendment 11 and 12. There's something totally different. So that's why we rename the document to call it United States Constitution, because that is a constitution that can have many. It can have the Constitution of the United States, and it can have the 13th up, which is a totally different thing. These guys are good with words. But it's our birthright. I have three things as my birthright in this country. The law of nature, nature's God, that's called inalienable rights. It's in the Declaration of Independence. It's in no other country. I also have civil rights. That's all over the world in certain places. And technically, civil rights can't be taken away. That means I can sue and be sued. That's in the Constitution of the United States. The privileges and immunities of the citizens of the several states. Back in a minute.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, I'm back. We're back here. Is there any doubt that our republic is comprised of independent countries called the several states? That's right in the Constitution at the beginning. House of Representatives shall be composed of members, not officers, members, that's separate too, chosen every second year by the people of the several states. What's several mean? Black's Law, separate, individual, independent, severable. They're separate. Okay, so if we take that, the simple logic, common sense, no law involved. So we have 50, supposedly, of the comprised, there are several states. They all have their own constitutions. They all have their own citizens. So how in the world can we call and everybody go in and say, well, I'm a citizen of the United States in every state, each one of these several states? How does that work? It's illogical. It can't exist. You can't be in Texas and have your main citizenship citizens of the United States. Because I'm in Kansas. Am I a citizen of the United States too? But we got different constitutions. Got different laws. It's illogical, first of all. So where does a citizen of the United States exist? With nothing else in the District of Columbia. And it says it's a qualified elector. A citizen of the United States in D.C. is under the plenary absolute power of Congress. Is that what we are? Yeah, we are today. Because we don't know any better. We keep signing up that we want that status. We're guilty because we don't know who we are. I got to redo the status, the filing into the recorder's office for your status of a citizen of one of the several states, oath of allegiance, and all that. I got to update it. I've got so much information. The old ones work, but I got enough to put them on steroids. I got to get that done. I finally got the one line done that shows the federal agencies. If you haven't got a copy of it, you might want to catch on, and I got way more to put into it, but this is such simple logic. How can everybody be a citizen of the United States? They flipped it after the Civil War, the Reconstruction Act. I got a case, the Supreme Court said, yeah, they flipped the citizenship. Well, Congress doesn't have that power. My birthright is who I am when I land on the land. If I was born in Iran, I sure as a heck wouldn't be a citizen of Kansas, would I? I'd have to be naturalized. I wouldn't be a natural-born citizen. Do you think the citizen of Iran gets the same thing as a citizen in Kansas? I don't think so. A citizen of the United States has only one attribute, civil rights. They can sue and be sued with corporations or whatever. Boo-ha. A citizen of Kansas has the privileges and immunities. He can be sued by any of the other citizens of the several states. He has inalienable rights, which is the law of nature, nature's God. He also has political rights to say, I have a right to go in and use the elective franchise to determine who I want to be and hold public office and the right of suffrage. A citizen of the United States doesn't have that. They print it. So why is that entity going in and, quote, voting? Well, voting doesn't mean you're entitled to cast a vote. All Congress did is said there can't be any discrimination when you show up to exercise the right of suffrage and the elective franchise. I don't have a problem with that. Nobody should. But there's no right of suffrage or the elective franchise for a citizen of the United States. The ones in D.C. don't have senators. Why? Because the Constitution of the United States is for the several states and the people of the several states. People of the several states. That's Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States. Tell me that they didn't know what they were doing when they wrote it. And they used to call everybody prior to the Constitution for the United States of America, being the Constitution of the United States, they called them citizens of the United States. They termed it that in that way. It was just a way, technically, a citizen of the United States doesn't exist. There's a case in California said that. What it is, we can assume the character of a citizen of the United States to go to Congress and petition them and do those sorts of things. It doesn't really exist. Why would I want to be a citizen of the United States? Oh, that's right. Let's see. I don't have a soul, do I? I'm not a Christian.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Well, we're back here. Ed in Iowa, you got a question or a comment?
Yes, Ralph, I got you a good case. I don't know if you know about it or not, but it's called Miner versus Happersett. Have you ever read that case?
What's the site on it?
Well, I don't know. Let me see. I'm on one page 167. Let me give you the site. It is 88 U.S., 21 Wall, 162, and that's an 1874 case.
No, there should be a case like something U.S. something, or like it's just that there's a Supreme Court case, isn't it?
Yeah, United States Supreme Court, yeah.
It should be a number of U.S. something.
Well, it's 88 U.S. and 21 Wallace, you know, Wall, 162.
No, but it should be 28 U.S. and there's one more number. What's that number?
They don't have another number. That's it. It's just 86. Well, it's 88 U.S. 162 is what it is. See? So you can find it if you look it up. 88 U.S. 162, and it's an 1874 case.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 88 U.S. 162. That's
it. That's it.
Yeah, but
you can also find it. Yeah, you can find it in 21 Wall also.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I wanted to show you here was what they said in this case, a little section of it. They said, and you were talking about citizens of the United States, and they talk about this in here. And they said, to determine then who were citizens of the United States before the adoption of the amendment, and they're talking about the 14th Amendment, it is necessary to ascertain what persons originally associated themselves together to form the nation and what were afterwards admitted to membership. Looking at the Constitution itself, we find that it was ordained and established by, quote, the people of the United States, end of quote. And then going further back, we find that these were the people of the United States that had before dissolved in political bands, which connected them with Great Britain and assumed a separate and equal station among the powers of the earth, and that had by Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union, in which they took the name of the United States of America, quote unquote. Now, what I do on all of my documents, I never, ever sign my Christian name because it's improper on a public document. I always sign one of the United States of America. Absolutely. If it's Christian, it belongs on a Christian document, right? Well, and so you should never.
I've never seen what you're saying anywhere. Sorry, but go ahead.
I know that. But this case brings it to the forefront because it says the people of the Union, which you're talking about, the sovereign people, took the name the United States of America. So every document that I file, I put my name as one of the United States of America, and I'll put a footnote, minor versus apposite, and then I'll put below it, also known as, my Christian name, but it's typed. And when I sign the document at the end, I always sign the United States of America. I never sign my Christian name ever. It's improper to do that.
Which is your Christian name? Your given name, your middle name, or your family name?
Well, it'd be the first and middle name. The last one is your family name.
Yeah, well, the first one technically is your Christian name. The one in the middle name is just technically... It's not a Christian. It's not really important, but we use it. It's still important.
Right. I just put the whole thing. I'll put down, my name is Edward Allen, family of Fife or something like that. But I'll put out to the side Christian name. But I don't sign that name. I always sign the United States of America on the document. And I've had notaries notarize my documents with no problem. And I ask them the question.
That
isn't being
invalid. I'm not saying you're invalid, but let me tell you. In the world that we live in, are you a citizen of Iowa?
Absolutely, now.
Okay.
Now so I am, because I'm domiciled.
Okay, so you have your inalienable rights, you have your civil rights, and your public rights.
Yes.
Okay. Because that's important. So are you a citizen of the United States or not?
No, I am the United States because I took that name. My ancestors took that name and they bequeathed it to me. And so I'm using it because they gave it to me.
So you're actually saying you're a citizen of the United States?
No, I am the United States. No, I'm not saying I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm a citizen of the state wherein I reside.
You can't be a citizen because it says in that case, I just looked at this, ipso facto, it means we can take on the character, and this is Slaughterhouse, Crookshank, we can take on the character of a citizen of the United States. You are not, nor can you claim to be a citizen of the United States.
Right. Ex parte Knowles says this. They say this in the case. Need to read that case, too. That's a really good case.
That's out of California.
Ex parte Knowles. Yeah, it's a California case. And it says in there that there is no such thing as a United States citizen technically. But
it does
say that if you're a state citizen, you are then ipso facto a United States
citizen. What that means? It means like Slaughterhouse and Crookshank said, you can take on the character of that, just like you are not a tenant, you're not a landlord, but you can take on that character and go to court if it's applicable.
Right.
That's what it means.
Yeah, and see, the reason for that is because, for example, let's say you went to another country. Well, they're not going to say you are a citizen of the state of Alaska. They're going to say you're a citizen of the United States, aren't they? Right?
You know what they're going to say? What they're going to say in your passport, it says citizen/national of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what it says on your passport. If You got a passport?
Right. No,
and
I don't have
that,
one. I
there
had
are
one.
Two flavors. You are either a citizen of the United States or you are a you owe allegiance to the United States, but you're not a citizen of the United States. That's us.
Right.
But they use
right.
national
exactly.
of the United States because the countries look at us as one nation, which in reality we are not. We are 50 sovereign countries together.
Right, right, right. But they're not going to look at it that way, though. They're going to say they're going to call you a citizen of the United States. That's what they're going to call you. So that's why when the people took on that name, and that's what this Meyer versus Happersett says, it says in which they took the name of the United States of America, and they're talking about the people, not the land, not the government. They're talking about the people took that name. So that's the name you should use in all documents. You never use your Christian name. That is improper. And you never
I've never seen anywhere. I'm going to have to disagree with that one. And the other thing that I would have to disagree with, we are all citizens of the United States of America. When you are naturalized, you come in as a citizen of the United States of America, the country. When you then pick up a domicile, like in Iowa, you become a citizen of Iowa if you're there for the period of time that's required to obtain a domicile.
Yeah. Well, that's for 14th Amendment citizens, though. That's not for state
citizens.
What?
14th Amendment.
Okay. All right. Well, let me show you the difference. The 1906 Act, which was the first act that changed the naturalization in this country, from the states to the federal government, there was a, and if you read the case, and there's a case on it, too, I've got here, Van Valkenburg versus Brown is a case.
Okay, I'm gonna stop you. First of all, we got to get our terms. Mm-hmm. What
yeah.
would I be called if I am a, what you call a 14th Amendment citizen? What is that status called?
It's a denizen, actually. They're not really a citizen at all.
Nope, that's not. What would you be called? Are you a citizen of the United States, a citizen of the United States of America,
a citizen of Iowa? A citizen of the United States. Right, absolutely.
You are a citizen of the United States as your primary citizenship?
Yes. Proper. In other words, the United States proper. In other words, D.C., you're a citizen of D.C. That's what you are. And
okay,
if you
so
go through the wrong process...
You're in Iowa, so how would you... how could you be a citizen of the United States if you're not in D.C.?
Because if you are a 14th Amendment citizen that went through the wrong process, for example, all right, okay, the federal process... Remember, there's two processes, Ralph. There was a process, the original process was in the states. The state district courts made the naturalization first. And the Congress made the rule for the states to do the job.
But they were both citizens of the United States of America, because I have the documents. Go ahead. They have no difference.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what Minor versus Happersett says. So what I'm saying is that if you went through the wrong process, if you went through the 1906 process or today, the 2002 process, which is in Homeland Security, you go through that process, that's for 14th Amendment citizens, that I know for a fact that's true because I've got the congressional record on it and prove it to you. I can send you the congressional record.
Okay. It's really confusing what you're doing. This process, look, you have a birthright.
Right.
Can you change your birthright, yes or no?
Once you get the birthright, no.
Okay, so you were born, to say, in Iowa. You are a citizen of Iowa.
No, I was born in Texas.
Okay, so you're a citizen of Texas.
Originally, yes. Through my dad's birthright.
Now you're domiciled in Iowa, so you can claim that you're a citizen of Iowa now, right?
Of Iowa, right.
Okay, so here's the confusing part that I'm going to have to, that I'm not following your logic, because I've spent a lot of time researching on this. Number one, your primary citizenship cannot be a citizen of the United States unless you are domiciled in the District of Columbia, territory, or possessions. You agree with that?
No. No, I don't. Because you can be a citizen of the United States and be in one of the states. Because remember what it says. Remember what it says. The 14th Amendment, I think, is what it's, where it says it. It says that in all the court cases agree that you can become a citizen of the United States and then become a member of one of the states by going to that state. That's what it says. Okay?
Go look at
Ex parte Knowles. You better go look at that and read that carefully.
Okay,
because,
well, I got to tell you what, you better look at Ex parte. Let's look at Ex parte Virginia, a Supreme Court of the United States. Slaughterhouse, mm-hmm. Crookshank, they said the 14th Amendment changed nothing. You can't change your citizenship.
No, I know that. I'm aware of that,
well,
but there are two.
You got to understand,
Ralph. Listen, if you'll read Van Valkenburg versus Brown, very clearly it says that there are two citizenships. Also, I can send you the congressional record when they were actually debating the 1906 New Naturalization Act after 1802 Naturalization Act. You know what? That was the last one in the state. I can show you where they said specifically, word for word, that there are two citizenships in this country.
There are.
Okay.
That's what I'm telling you. There is the natural one. You are a citizen of Texas, and they can't take it away. That's called people of the several states. And you can, if you go read Crookshank and that, you take on the character of a citizen of the United States. You can't have two main
Right, and I agree with that. I agree with that, but see, you're
so
not.
I don't understand what your point is.
Okay, well, the point is, all right, the point is that one can be a citizen of the United States, but not a citizen of any state. That's what the court cases say, right? So, if you're a citizen of the United States, and then you then move to one of the states, okay, or you're in one of the states, maybe from the origin, when you get naturalized, whatever, okay, then you are now a citizen of the United States in the first instance.
Proper. Nope, totally disagree. Absolutely
and
disagree.
And then you're allowed to live in a state, but you're not a state citizen. Okay, that's the way it is.
You are 100% wrong, and I can prove it. All
well, you need to go dig deeper, Ralph, because I'm telling you, I know I'm right, because I've dug this all out, and I can prove it.
Okay, well, we're going to have to agree to
this all
so we can move on, because I tell you what, I've got in Ex parte Virginia said nothing changed when the 14th Amendment come in. End of story. Bottom line, nothing changed. Nothing. Got to read Slaughterhouse, read Crookshank. Those are holdings of the Supreme Court. Okay? Next caller, Steve in Oregon.
Yeah, hi, Ralph. I got a question. You said the original Constitution was the United States Constitution of the United States, and then you later said something about the Constitution for the United States. I thought.
Oh, okay. It's the Constitution for the United States of America, which is in the preamble, and that Constitution is Constitution of the United States.
So of the one of is the original. It's not for. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, in the preamble, the country, United States of America, is a constitution for the United States of America, which is called, the one that was created then, is called the Constitution of the United States.
Oh, okay, so the preamble was before 1871?
No, the preamble says who they're telling us this constitution. It's a constitution for the country called the United States of America. for the colonies. Okay. For the United States of America, and it's called the Constitution of the United States. And within that document, they a couple times say they are setting up a government of the United States, which is over the several states.
Okay, okay. I just got a few, one last philosophical question for you.
So, sure.
The Constitution was made up in the minds of men through deliberation, right? It was invented by man?
No, it was based on, if you go look at Blackstone and that's why we have inalienable rights. That's why it's based on a Christian thing, the things that were already set in Christian word, morals, and that couldn't be changed. That's why we have inalienable rights. They already pre-existed.
Right, okay. 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 Well, those Christian inalienable rights, they were also made up by man, right?
No, they came from God. It comes from the law of nature, well, and nature's God.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your answers. And
okay,
you have a good day.
Yeah. Now this, maybe I should read a little bit out of that. People misunderstand the 14th Amendment, because if they would just read, which I used to, and I would get confused, I guarantee you, because it's made to be not clear, but it is clear. The 14th Amendment says, I'm going to get down to it here. 14th Amendment, I'm almost there. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Subject to the jurisdiction thereof. What does that mean? How do I become subject to something? What does the word subject to mean? This is a little game that they played. Subject to. If I am in Alaska, I'm subject to all laws. They don't have to say, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. If I am domiciled, or if I am in Alaska doing something, the laws of Alaska attach, period. We don't have to use subject to. And this is the game that they play also on the taxes and all that other nonsense. Subject to, the term, okay, two words, in quotation marks, means liable, subordinate, subservient, inferior, obedient to, semicolon, governed or affected by, semicolon, provided that, semicolon, provided, semicolon, answerable. It goes on to say, usually indicates a condition of one party's duty of performance and not a promise by the other. Now, what does that mean? Usually indicate a condition of one party's duty of performance and not a promise by the other. In law, it's called an implied in law contract. What that means is your Form 1040, I agree that I owe you money, Internal Revenue Service, and you don't owe me one darn thing. It is not a contract. It's, I would like to be obligated to you and pay money, and you don't have to do anything for me. Let's translate that, what that means. The same thing as the mafia coming around every week and saying, you will donate to the mafia, but the mafia owes you nothing. There's no difference, because there is no law of the United States. Out of the House of Ways and Means, suing Trump, the House of Representatives, they say it's a voluntary national taxation system. That is the right out of the House of Representatives. That's their damn words. It's voluntary. So why am I going to jail? Because I'm dumb? Yes. Because I'm illiterate? Yes. Because I'm ignorant? Yes. So wake up. Get knowledge. We are trapped by what we think we know that's not so. How can subject to mean usually indicate a condition of one party's duty of performance and not a promise by the other? Most people never heard of implied law contracts. An express contract means both parties got to give up something for the other guy to get something. I just had an express contract for the guy to fix my boiler. He did a service and I paid him. We both got something out of it. He got money and I got a boiler fixed. That's an express contract. There's attorney in fact that can also qualify as that. But a subject to, that's why you can't ever be a 14th Amendment citizen, because the only place a citizen of the United States exists, clean, and that's the only status you've got, is in the District of Columbia Territory in possession, and the Supreme Court has said it so many darn times, I don't know why, they have no right to an Article III court. The court has come over and over and over said, you people in the D.C. do not have a right to an Article III constitutional court, because that is for the several people in the several states. That's the Supreme Court ruling over and over. Hasn't changed. It's our status, and that is what is missing. Because why does every darn thing that we do today require me to say I am a citizen of the United States? Why do they have that today? Why is it on my voter registration? Why is it tied into my driver's license that goes back to the National Voter Registration Act of 1993? Alaska's is just one statute away. It's just tied directly. I registered to vote as a citizen of Alaska, and they didn't stop me, because they can't. They can, but they knew not to mess with me. Why do I register to vote as a citizen of Alaska? Because that is the right of the elected, franchise, and suffrage. A citizen of the United States, the court says, has no right of suffrage, no right of the elected franchise, which means you have no right to determine the government that you're supposedly operating under. And that's a fact. An absolute fact. This is the thing that is missing, because when you sign up to be a citizen of the United States, you have given plenary power to Congress. I have 110 cases in the public record of the parties and everything. They said United States of America is a sovereign body politic. And that's a quote. Back on the minute.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit